Just wait.
So I know that there are people who think like, oh, you know, do this and, you know, that I'm going to be locked up or whatever. I ain't worried about that. You heard the truth and the truth shall make you free. I ain't even worried about that. Like, not.
Did some reconnaissance on the ground, speaking to an organization there that's gearing up to for resistance and protest. I've been surprised, pleasantly surprised, to see the community coming together. We're like, wait a minute, which operation are we at? And as it turns out, because we're like, well, this is kind of MAGA coded, right? Saw the American flag or whatever, but these are resistance protesters. They're planning an operation that we're going to follow them on. I can't tell you exactly what they're doing, but it's called Operation Pull Up.
The FACE Act is constitutional and properly applied. In this case, it certainly is, because Lemon and the Black Lives Matter crew said they were there to make them uncomfortable and shut them down and basically bully them into their political form of thinking. When you do that, you are engage in a conspiracy against someone's rights.
The president just arrested two journalists. Now I think that he's almost in double down mode. I thought he was in de-escalate mode. Now he's having journalists arrested.
Well, he arrested journalists for committing crimes and then filming themselves committing crimes and then talking and admitting on camera to committing those crimes. So, you know, just because you say you're a journalist doesn't mean he violated the FACE Act in 18 U.S. Code Section 241, among others.
The Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act, FACE Act, makes it unlawful to use force, threats of force, or physical obstruction to intentionally injure, intimidate, or interfere with anyone exercising their religious beliefs at a house of worship. This law protects all faith communities equally, churches, synagogues, mosques, temples, and others.
How did they use force or intimidation? Fundamental part of the mens rea of that statute. How?
Quote, "Your parents are Nazis," end quote, was yelled directly in the faces of children while accusing parents of being Nazis who would burn in hell. Quote, "This ain't God's house, this is the house of the devil," end quote, was shouted by protester William Kelly. Accusations that the church was, quote, harboring killers, end quote, directed at the congregation. In the chaos, some protesters reportedly shouted, quote, shoot, end quote, amid fears of guns, contributing to panic that felt like a, quote, mass shooting, end quote, to one victim as stairs were blocked to prevent parents from reaching Sunday school children.
Don Lemon said on camera that the purpose of the event that he was actively participating in was to traumatize people. And he said that is good. That is what that is for.
Watch this guy here. Look, he's hugging his kid. And, you know, I just imagine it's uncomfortable and traumatic for the people here, but that's what protesting is about. And so
you heard what some of the folks said in there, you know, that this is they shouldn't be there and, you know, they shouldn't be uncomfortable and this is our house and whatever. That's what protesting is about, is to make people uncomfortable. You may not like it.
He said that he knew a secret. He knew about what they were doing in advance. He wouldn't say it on camera. Yeah, he served coffee to his fellow activists in there. He violated the FACE Act. He conspired against my
point.
You cannot claim First Amendment protections while you actively violate the First Amendment rights of others.
The FBI and Bloomfield police arrested Nicholas Melendretos yesterday. The U.S. Attorney's Office says he is the man seen on this surveillance video hurling the device at the main entrance of Temple near Tamid early Sunday morning. Luckily, it did not cause any major damage, but if convicted, he's facing a maximum of 20 years in prison and a $250,000 fine.
Federal prosecutors say he shared a manifesto containing threats to attack a synagogue and Jewish people. Titled When Swords Collide, part of it reads, "I am the attacker and I would like to introduce myself. I am Muslim with so many regrets, but I can assure you this attack is not one of them."
Violence and intimidation directed at synagogues and other houses of worship are not only attacks on individuals. They are attacks on an entire faith community. And they intimidate and deter people from exercising their protected First Amendment rights. Houses of worship in America must remain sanctuaries of peace, not places of fear. The Civil Rights Division has a duty to protect every community's right to gather and worship without harassment, threats, or violence.
He also, a few days ago, did an interview, and we'll show that clip in a moment, where he said, oh, these are white supremacists. In fact, Christian churches in general are white supremacists because only they have rights, only whites have rights.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
One of the weirder things about these files is there's some stuff in there that you go, okay, one thing that we know happens is when something is true, a bunch of stuff gets attached to it that's both not true and also preposterous that allows you to sort of dismiss all of it together. Yeah. There's a lot of people thought about that with Pizzagate. And there's some stuff that I saw online that was like George W. Bush was like involved in ritual sacrifice or, you know, things along those lines, like killing babies and eating people and wild shit.
Yeah.
What do you think that stuff is?
I don't know. I don't.
Do you think it really occurs?
What I'll say is, this is a bad week to be a total Pizzagate denialist. You would feel a lot more comfortable about it a week ago than you would this week. I don't particularly focus or – I don't want to say care. I don't – my knowledge set on it is a lot more limited on it because I don't think it's a central crux of political influence. I don't know if it's kind of almost a inside joke in a certain way. Jeffrey Epstein himself in these emails is unbelievably trolly. You know, he'll say things that are the kind of, you know, shit posts you say to a buddy or your brother or something that you don't mean.
Right.
You're tongue in cheek. Yeah. But you, if you were a cynical, out-to-get-you person who somehow obtained that text message, you'd say, oh, look, he said it. And so there's a lot of that going on. But the fact is I've seen a lot of images shared around the time period of when Pizzagate was popping off in 2016 that all I'll say is it doesn't look good or easily explainable. At the same time, a lot of those screenshots I have not, you know, for most of these, for the things I've posted about or that I'm talking about here, I've gone to the Justice Department file. I've looked up the file number. I've confirmed whether or not the screenshot is actually what it is. For those, I have not yet, but I wouldn't feel totally confident saying there's no there there. But that's about as far as I can go on that.
When you say images, what are you talking about?
Well, there's a lot of, you know, if you look up pizza, for example, it's just as a keyword search, you'll see, or cheese or something. It looks like, you know, in the DOJ database for these new files, you'll see a lot of things of people talking about pizza in a way that
it seems like a code.
It's kind of impossible to think.
To imagine it's actually just
to a pizza. What's about?
Oh, okay.
So obviously, folks, we got a lot to talk about today. Sorry about that. That's dropping behind me. Welcome to the American Journal. We're excited you're all joining us today. A lot going on over here, as you guys just heard. A little clip of Mike Benz, joining Joe Rogan. You guys know we love Mike Benz on this show dearly. So that was definitely exciting to see. But most importantly, folks, he is going through the Epstein files, the latest release, and trying to figure out all of those details. Now, interesting enough, folks, President Trump was asked in clip one, we're going to listen to about this, because as many of you guys know, the Epstein files have obviously been very enlightening a little bit. Not too much, though. Most of us have known the information that's out there. We're just getting more of more evidence to prove that what we've always known to be true is true. But we're also learning a lot more. And the problem is President Trump continues to handle this the wrong way. It's really frustrating because the president continues to jump out there and make comments in regards to the Clintons. Now, the Clintons, as many of you guys know, we talked about this yesterday. The Clintons, interesting enough, were subpoenaed to Congress, but now they've agreed to testify and to speak. Now, unfortunately, it's going to be a closed-door meeting. It will be filmed, though, but I still don't like that. There's no reason to do that because they could turn off the camera whenever they want. But the reality of it is President Trump made a really wild statement yesterday. As you just heard Mike Benz detail there, there's a lot of truth here, and we're going to play another clip for him sifting through the false information that's been pushed out there. But President Trump is backing the Clintons, and it's bizarre. It truly is bizarre. In clip one, take a listen.
Today we heard that the Clintons set deposition dates to testify before the House Oversight Committee. Any reaction to that and related to the Epstein question?
I think it's a shame, to be honest. I always liked him. Her? Yeah. She's a very capable woman. She was better in debating than some of the other people, I will tell you that. She was smarter, smart woman. I hate to see it in many ways. I hate to see it. But, you know, then I look at me. They went after me like, they wanted me to go to jail for the rest of my life. Then it turned out I was innocent, very innocent.
Does anyone know what he's actually saying? Because I truly don't understand where he's going with this. That is extremely, extremely bizarre. It's a bizarre response. Why is he defending Hillary Clinton? Does anyone know? I'm tired of this. There's some reason why the president right now feels like he has to go out there and defend the Clintons. This is the guy who literally chanted to lock her up, and now he's defending her. There's obviously been something that's happened behind closed doors the rest of us are not aware of, and it is deeply, deeply concerning. To come out there and to defend them is bizarre. Is very bizarre. You can't defend these people. You just can't. You can't sit there and pretend like there's some line of reason. I mean, it just made it seem like Hillary Clinton is actually a decent person. And Bill Clinton was hanging out with Epstein for quite some time. So the illusion that he's trying to create, like these two are good people, is quite bizarre. And it's infuriating. Like he's trying to gaslight the American people at this point. I don't know what else to say here on this front. President Trump has been really disappointing over these last few months, making claims and trying to defend the Clintons. How can any person who is a Trump supporter actually support this? The Clintons are evil people. Evil people. I couldn't even think of one positive thing if I had to about Hillary. And to sit here and pretend like there's some glimpse of hope that this is actually a decent human being. She's a good debater. She's actually smart. No. Something strange is happening. Something very, very strange is happening. Melinda Gates is actually talking too about what was found in the Epstein files. Many of you guys know there's an email that was sent by Jeffrey Epstein, and it alleges that Bill Gates, her ex-husband, caught an STD from a Russian girl. Now, again, we don't know if this is a girl who's underage, of age. We have no idea who this girl is. But we just hear that that there might have possibly been an STD that Bill Gates received from hanging out with this girl. Now, in the email, they also talk about trying to figure out how to get Melinda some drugs. I guess they're trying to make sure she doesn't find out about it. Now, obviously, the two are divorced now. And in clip two, Melinda Gates reacts to the latest news about her husband possibly having an STD. Take a listen.
The emails in the files suggest that Bill Gates had additional affairs and that he tried to get medication to treat a sexually transmitted infection and that he was going to give you the medicine without you knowing. His representative has said all of this is false. It is not on you to have to respond to the details of that alleged behavior, but I wonder what your dominant emotion is when you read these news articles with these details.
Sad. Just unbelievable sadness. Unbelievable sadness, right? And again, I'm able to take my own sadness and look at those young girls and say, my God, how did that happen to those girls, right? And so for me, it's just sadness for, you know, I left my marriage. I had to leave my marriage. I wanted to leave my marriage. I had to leave I felt I needed to eventually leave the foundation. So it's just sad. That's the truth, right? And it's kind of like, at least for me, I've been able to move on in life.
Really devastating when you think about it. I mean, let's just say, well, that wouldn't even happen to us, but it is devastating news. And I understand why she is upset about it. Folks, why don't we have Melinda Gates testifying right now? Why isn't she being pulled in front of a congressional hearing? She clearly knows a lot. She's telling you this is the reason why she had to leave her marriage. Get some more details. She probably knows things. Now, I'm sure we'll find out that part of the divorce agreement, though, she had to zip up, not say anything. But get her in front of Congress and have her say that to you. This woman knows a lot. Folks, looks like Tom Homan is speaking right now in Minneapolis. I wanted to make sure we brought that to you because he's obviously the border czar, but he's got the situation in Minneapolis under control right now is what we're hoping he's going to say. Let's take a listen.
I'm Tom Homan. I'm the border czar, President Trump. I'm here with Sam Olson, Field Office Director for the St. Paul office, and Ron Patello, Senior Advisor to the Commissioner Customs and Border Protection, Border Patrol. Us three guys got just shy of 100 years in law enforcement, immigration enforcement. I worked with Ron 30 years ago in Dallas, Texas. He's been with the Border Patrol's entire career. During my press conference last week, I reported I had productive discussions with various state and local officials, including Governor, Attorney General Mayor Fry, and law enforcement officials about increasing coordination in a lawful way between the county jails and ICE to avoid public safety threats being released back in the community. While we had our differences, one thing was clear. We all committed to public safety for all who live in the Twin Cities. We have made significant progress under the direction of President Trump, working with state and local officials here in Minnesota, and I expect that to increase in the coming weeks. We continue to have discussions. I'll have discussions this afternoon. We currently have an unprecedented number of counties communicating with us now and allowing ICE to take custody of illegal aliens before they hit the streets. Unprecedented cooperation. And I'll say it again. This is efficient, requires only one or two officers to assume custody of a criminal alien target rather than 8 or 10 officers going into the community and arresting that public safety threat. This frees up more officers to arrest or remove criminal aliens. More officers taking custody of criminal aliens directly from the jails means less officers on the street doing criminal operations. This is smart law enforcement, not less law enforcement. It's safer for the community, safer for the officers, and safer for the alien. This coordination also makes it far more safe for the Twin Cities. Arresting a public safety threat and the safety and security of a jail is the safest thing we could do. Further, less public safety risks are being released back into the communities, reduces recidivism. So local law enforcement can direct their limited resources to other public safety matters in their community. This is another priority of President Trump. The state prisons already cooperate with ICE on this coordinated transfer of custody, and we thank them for that partnership, and we plan to do more with them. I also want to reiterate and emphasize we are not requiring jails to hold people past their normal release time for immigration purposes. We're not asking anyone to be an immigration officer. We are not asking any state or local official to do immigration enforcement activity. They are not. By merely notifying us before they release them, they don't hold them 1 minute past they normally would. Given this increase in unprecedented collaboration, and as a result of the need for less law enforcement officers to do this work in a safer environment, I have announced effective immediately we will draw down 700 people effective today. 700 law enforcement personnel. We have also fully integrated CBP personnel into the ICRO team structure under one unified chain of command. Not two chains of command. There'd be one chain of command here. Any large enforcement operation I've ever been involved with, there's one chain of command, and that's where we're moving forward. During my press conference last week, I announced that moving forward, ICE will be conducting targeted immigration enforcement operations, like ICE has traditionally done for decades, based on reasonable suspicion to question and detain. ICE will conduct these operations and transnational criminal organization investigations with a focus on national security and public safety. I want to be clear. Just because you prioritize public safety threats don't mean we forget about everybody else. We will continue to enforce the immigration laws in this country. To help execute this, we have developed and implemented a multi-agency surge task force with an operational framework that clarifies lines of effort, integrated enforcement, investigative and special response efforts. A unified joint operations center has been established to manage all operations and ensure efforts align with priorities of the mission. This reorganization also enables ICE to leverage joint intelligence capabilities to effectively target threats, as well as to reduce the overall personnel footprint and enhance public safety and confidence in the agency's capabilities and presence here. I've also ensured that officials from legal internal affairs offices remain on the ground as long as this operation continues. During our efforts to identify and implement improvements of how operations are planned, conducted, and managed, we identified a gap in regard to the use of body-worn cameras. This was actually raised by the workforce when I started walking around talking to people here. Some officers and agents had them, some didn't. That inconsistency was unacceptable, so we moved immediately to prioritize full body cam deployment in the city. I discussed this with Secretary Noem a couple of days ago, and she made the decision to deploy them. The plan is to deploy them nationwide, but it's a priority for the city right now. There's actually $20 million in the spending bill to further fund the deployment of body cameras. The president is supportive of this decision because we have nothing to hide. We want to be fully transparent in what we do. The American people seek and deserve professional and trustworthy law enforcement, and I and the president expect that any misconduct would not be tolerated and be swiftly addressed. The integration, structuring, and resources we have implemented would help ensure accountability and that targeted enforcement operations have a focus on national security threats and public safety threats, and they are conducted effectively, safely, and appropriately. Again, this is smarter enforcement, not less. For those who are not a national security threat or public safety risk, you are not exempt from immigration enforcement actions. If you're
all right,
in the country,
I want to step in on this because Tom Homan, breaking news ultimately, saying that they're going to be reducing federal personnel who are there present in Minnesota. They're reducing it by at least 700, he said. He's claiming that's due to the fact that local law enforcement will now be working with the federal agencies, and so there's no need for those extra hands on deck. He also is discussing the body cam issue because apparently there were some DHS agents who do have them, some who don't. And now they are pushing to make sure that everyone does have body cams. And that's an interesting, very interesting take to this. I know the president was asked about it yesterday as well. I believe I might have had the clip somewhere, but I'll have to dig for that. But the president was also asked about the lack of federal clip 15. Okay, so yesterday there was a meeting with the president. He was in front of the media and somebody did actually ask him about the DHS body cams. And so in clip 15, this was his response. Take a listen.
Kristi Noem just announced that you're deploying body cameras to Minneapolis. What's your thinking behind this decision, and do you want to see this?
Well, it wasn't my decision. I would have, you know, I leave it to her. They generally tend to be good for law enforcement because people can't lie about what's happening. So it's generally speaking, I think 80% good for law enforcement. But if she wants to do that, I'm okay with it. Remember one thing, we closed the border. I got elected on a disastrous border, and we have nobody coming in through our border anymore. We had 25 million people come in 4 years through our border. Many of them were murderers and drug dealers and mentally insane from mental institutions and insane asylums. And now we don't have anybody coming in. For 9 months now, I mean, they actually report zero. We have zero people coming in, which I find hard to believe, but the Democrats do that report. They tend to be left-leaning that do that report. So I assume it's true. If it's not, it's a very tiny amount of people. But we basically have a tremendously perfect, strong border. And also, crime levels are at the lowest point they've been in 125 years. Since 1900, we have the best numbers. And that's despite the fact that we had a lot of criminals and murderers. 11,888 murders came in. And we have the lowest numbers that we've had in 125 years. So, you know, so we're doing a good job. If she wants to do the camera thing, that's okay with me.
So obviously that's quite interesting. Folks, obviously body cam footage and the videos itself have done more to protect law enforcement, because we all know that a lot of these criminals, surprise, surprise, have a habit of lying. And so when you do have your body cams going, it does offer you some insurance that your side, your perspective will be heard. Most of the time, and that's most of the time, these officers, when they do turn over their footage, it usually does indicate that they were abiding by their personal internal policies and obviously the law. So this is a good thing. And this is why, keep in mind, folks, when you saw that footage that took a little couple of days, I guess I should say, to be released, this footage here, this comes from an ICE officer who's recording on his phone. So he had to hop out of his car and start recording on his phone, probably didn't have body cam. And it's kind of crazy to think that they don't have body cam, considering the fact that they have a massive federal budget. It's also crazy to think that the FBI agents don't do that either. They don't have body cams. We just allow them to go into people's homes, and we hope for the best that they're not corrupt and evil and going to plant things on people, you know. I would probably beg to differ on that one, but I think any law enforcement agency that's interacting with the public needs body cams. And this push needs to be done. It needs to be carried out through the FBI and other agencies as well. All right, folks, buckle up. We got a lot more to discuss. Matt Tardio will be joining the show, as well as Jorge Ventura, Billboard Chris, Ken Silva, and Logan Washburn with an exclusive story. So we've got a lot happening over here. And that's just a quick rundown of everything. But Jorge Ventura will be joining us in just a moment. Jorge was assaulted by a group of left-wing terrorists, and I was obviously in Minnesota, Minneapolis specifically. He'll be joining us to give us the very latest on that, so don't go anywhere. We've got a lot more to discuss in just a few moments. In the meantime, though, head on over. If you're going to go anywhere, go here, thealexjonesstore.com. We have a bunch of discounts that are rotating, and so it's our rolling sale. You got to check it out. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Take a look at the supplements. There are so many different options there, and the discounts are changing. Things that are on sale right now include Ultimate Burn, the Colostrum, which I know everyone loves so much, the Sea Moss Gummies as well, your favorite t-shirts, hats, and hoodies, as well as Methylene Blue. So head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com and take a look around. And we just launched those new hydration pouches.
Ladies and gentlemen, Methylene Blue is incredible, and we have the very best you're going to find anywhere at thealexjonesstore.com. What it's done to my clarity, my mind, my focus has just been wild. My workouts have been so much better. We have the best, Ultramethylene Blue, at thealexjonesstore.com. Here's what some of the guests on the show experienced when they took it, and Joe Rogan and others talking about my transformation that Methylene Blue has been a big part of.
How is Alex doing these?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like... Yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for fucking hours. He's lost 70 pounds at this point. Hmm. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger.
I saw Alex Jones, and he looks really good, doesn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, he's losing all weight. Taking back my health.
You're so good.
That's the only impression I could do.
Hey, Alex looks good, man. He lost some weight. He looks good.
Dude, he looks great.
Yeah.
He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts.
He's definitely one of my bucket list people to meet at some point.
Oh, I can introduce you to Alex.
Yeah.
We can make that happen for sure.
Come on.
It's so noticeable. I was like, wow, he looks handsome.
But I text Alex all the time. I know him. He's just losing weight. But if you go online, there's a lot of people that believe that this is like a different person. He looks great. That's all it is. He looks great.
Here's your daily motivation. Alex Jones is 51 years old. He's been through more shit than you will ever go through. The deep state has come for his life. They have come for his business. They fined him billions of dollars for free speech. Alex Jones has had his rights stripped away. They've tried to take this man's life for speaking truth. Alex Jones went from looking like this to looking now like this. Alex Jones is getting ripped. Alex Jones is getting yoked. It's showing all of us that no matter our age, no matter what's thrown at us in life, no matter how many troubles or trials that we have, what really matters is who you are on the rock-ribbed inside. Do you have gunpowder in your gut? Do you have some grit in your teeth? Can you be a man in the face of all of it? Your promised struggles in this life, can you punch back? Alex Jones is a motivation and a vibe today.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
It kind of gives you like a boost of energy. It's not like an energy drink where you get the jitters or like you're just ready for the day and you're never going to sleep. It's more so like it clears the brain fog where you're actually, you know, able to focus more clearly.
You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible.
It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
With methylene blue, I do notice that it does seem to give me more mental energy.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it. And let me tell you something, what a blessing.
It is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there. My kids take it, my wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
What a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Yeah.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on board with us today. A lot happening over here. We have a great lineup of guests, 5 guests actually today. So we've got a lot of independent journalists coming on to tell us what they've been working on. But before we get to that, I wanted to dive into this. The FBI director, Kash Patel, we made an appearance yesterday on Fox News, and it was quite the enlightening discussion. In clip 3, you're going to listen to the FBI director specifically talk about the mystery that is the Butler shooting. And he's going to claim something that I will dispute in regards to transparency. Take a listen.
Provide support.
All right. Well, let me take you to a different shooter, and that is the Butler shooter. I asked you about this at Quantico. Take a listen. Will we know a lot more about him? Is there more to know?
I don't know that there's more to know, but you're going to know everything we know. And we don't feel that the American people have been given the information they need on that. And we're digging through the files and we're getting them a more robust picture of what happened.
So that was May 2025. I mean, I don't think we, the public, have a more robust picture of that shooter.
Well, I think that's an unfair supposition. We, the FBI, have put out all the information that we possibly and legally can while protecting any ongoing matters that are unrelated.
But he's dead.
Well, yes, he's very much dead. But at the same time, Brett, we at the FBI have to follow the parameters of our investigation and what the law allows us to release.
I get it. But, you know, what were the cell phones? Why don't we know who he was talking to? You know, what exactly happened? I feel like we haven't gotten the whole picture about Butler even now.
But here's the thing, Brett. We can provide, and just an example here, we've provided 40,000 pages of documents to Congress. That's a 400% increase from the prior two directors. We will continue to provide this information with our partners on Capitol Hill when we are legally able. It's never going to be enough for everyone. It's never going to be enough. But what we are saying is, we're not saying trust us. We're saying we did an exhaustive search of that. We presented that information to the Department of Justice, and a decision was made on what to release.
Yeah, but okay. Yeah, you said we put out everything we could. Do you think that everything's been put out about Eric Crump's, the shooter, alleged shooter in
everything,
Butler?
Whether it's Epstein or Charlie Kirk or whether it's this shooter in Butler, we always put out what the law permits us to put out.
It's such a frustrating response, right? Because as someone who was one of the three journalists who were handed the document that detailed specifically the social media accounts that were being ran and operated allegedly by Thomas Crooks, We released it. Tucker Carlson, Miranda Devine, and myself. We released it. And we reached out to the FBI. I couldn't wrap my mind around the fact that they wouldn't tell us any of this. We reached out. You guys heard Tucker reached out, got a BS response. I reached out, ghosts, crickets. And we only forced their hand because we, the three of us, publicly released the information behind it. And in order to defend themselves, they went out and said, okay, yeah, some of that's real, but some of it you're misunderstanding. In fact, they called it false media reporting, from my understanding. So there's no legal, and this is the problem because this is the follow-up, what it should be. Well, can you specifically cite what would be holding you up from releasing critical pieces of information to the American people? What law are you citing? Because you're saying legally. So what are you citing specifically? We need a real breakdown because the American people aren't stupid. We're tired of hearing these responses from these officials. We want to tell you, but we can't. We just can't. We want to hear why, specifically why. Cite the law that is for blocking you, we'll just say, from being able to share this information with the American people. There was no reason to not tell the American people about his social media accounts. No reason. The FBI went with one narrative. They said he was a Trump supporter and they ran with that. They refused to tell you, though, about what happened in his past and how he was a far lefty. But then suddenly and strangely ended up shifting over a little bit. But that was after the pandemic. His political views did change. None of it seems to make sense. And there's no reason why they can't talk to us about who was he speaking to. Now, again, there might be ongoing investigations into the people he might have been speaking to. But folks, it's been a very long time. The American people need to hear more. We need to learn more. It's frustrating that that's the response. And again, I understand he cannot divulge certain pieces of information, especially if those people who he was in communications with are currently under investigation. But why not just say that? Because anyone who was talking to Thomas Crooks knows that they're being looked at by the federal government. It's just so frustrating on how they operate this way. Then they tell you that they're the most transparent administration ever. Or we're all about transparency. I don't see the transparency. You know, members of the media reach out to you for comment before running a story and you refuse to respond, but then get angry when we put it out there for the public to see and you call it false. You're the problem. You're the person who is creating intentionally confusion and chaos. There's no other way to look at this. We've opened up the avenues of communication. I've reached out several times. I've actually just stopped because for the most part, you don't really get anything back from them. I think I probably, if I reach out 10 times, I might get a response once. And yeah, there are a lot of internal issues, I'm sure, yes. But to beef up your communications department probably should be a top priority. And also the issue here is that they only do sit-down interviews with people who are cushy. People don't ask tough questions. Brett Baer did a fair job there. I'll give him that. But what is he specifically hiding under what law? He continues to say that legally he can only give a certain thing. Give us some information on that. Help us understand. Because I'm not an attorney. I'm a journalist. I'm a political commentator. So I don't know what law you're citing. So give us some specifics. It's not fair to sit here and pretend like And this is the theme we see with these officials now. Oh, just trust us because I had a podcast or I used to be on your side before. Or just trust me. Whatever I say, just trust it. No, we want more. We want proof. We want to see things for ourselves. The FBI director thinks that there's a legal reason why he cannot give us more information on Thomas Crooks. Tell us what that legal reason is. Tell us. I would love to know. I would love to know. Because if there's anything that the American people could then do is maybe start calling on their lawmakers to start changing these laws. Changing these laws. To sit here and just pretend like, come on, guys, you can't ask these questions. Is absurd. Speaking of that, I want to bring things back up to Minneapolis, because many of you guys know it's a group of far left wing terrorists taking over. And sadly, local PD looks like isn't really doing much in that sense. Now, we just listed in on Tom Homan, who is there right now. He's in Minnesota right now, and he announced that 700 federal personnel are going to be leaving the area. That's big news. And I know for a lot of Trump supporters, they probably think that's a sign of possibly Tom Homan and the administration surrendering to the far left wing terrorists. We'll get to that in a little bit. But, you know, Jorge Ventura has been on the ground, and Ventura has been digging into a lot of the stuff that you see going on right now in Minneapolis. But he's pretty down the middle on most of these things. He, in fact, in case you were unfamiliar with him prior, let me just give you a little background. I mean, during the BLM riots, he was an independent journalist going out there, Daily Caller, and he was filming what was happening. Then he ventured off to News Nation and was working there. And News Nation, I'd say, is pretty down the middle of most stuff. And now he's back in the independent world. And it's interesting. The reason why I want to keep driving that point home is, you know, Jorge's out in these streets right now trying to get some answers and do some digging into what they're actually doing on the ground. And regardless of the fact that he's not what they would probably consider to be a far right winger, they are going after him and they don't want him there. In clip 12, you're going to see exactly what unfolded when Jorge was just simply doing his job as an independent journalist. Take a listen.
Oh, look, they said that these cars actually look like ice, and they're actually following them. So we're actually seeing this in real time.
Hey, how you doing, man? You're right next to me. I can film here, buddy. It's a public sidewalk.
So it seems like they're turning around a vehicle. I got one guy following me.
Why did you try to steal my phone right now?
You guys got to get out of here, man.
Why'd you try to steal my phone right now, man? And they're harassing our Uber driver. Here, let's just get out of here.
I'm saying get out of here. Go away. You guys got to get out of here.
Why'd you try to steal my phone right now, man?
Go. Get out of here. Go.
And they're harassing our Uber driver.
Go.
Here, let's just get out of here.
I'm saying get out of here.
Oh, no, he's pushing it, man. Let him go to me.
Get out of here.
So they're assaulting me and my photojournalist.
All right, so folks, obviously they're not the friendliest. Joining us now to discuss is Jorge himself. And Jorge, you know, I appreciate you jumping on with us. I know it's pretty early in the morning for you, so thank you for being here. All right, so they're not very friendly in Minneapolis, and they're not very welcoming. And I was explaining to the audience that I consider you to be pretty down the middle. I mean, you're not like me, right? I'm like far right, off the political spectrum at this point. But you're pretty fair down the middle, but they seem to not want you there. So what was going on?
Yeah, Brandon. So what caught my attention there, it was in South Minneapolis. This is what was called as a filter blockade. And this was essentially the very first one where they built this, essentially this makeshift checkpoint. This is on 32nd and Cedar Avenue. They're literally in the middle of the intersection with all types of debris, wooden pallets, you know, dumpsters. But they do have a legit, in a way, makeshift checkpoint. They were stopping every single vehicle that crosses that intersection. They're asking people for their ID. And I was actually surprised when I arrived at this intersection that people were actually giving their IDs. These individuals look very frightened. You can see they're all masked up, wrapped up. All of their like clothing never has any logos. They have the walkie-talkies, a lot of the license plates. They were actually running the license plates. into a database. This is according to their language. And then they were checking if they were ICE agents. And they were running all the license plates of cars that were out of town. So we were just literally there for like 5 minutes. Wanted to capture just a couple images, a couple of photos, because it kind of looked absurd, looked like something out of a movie. And that's when they approached me. I talked to them. You know, Brian, I'm one of the nicest guys. I also like,
I know,
I'm very non, I don't try to get these guys with gotcha questions. If anything, I ask super easy questions. I just want to get how they think. And I just show the American people that that's a great shot. Yeah, this is exactly what kind of, if you were driving, it's exactly what you're looking at. They'll literally stop the vehicle, harass you, question you, take pictures of your license plate. And then they're repeating it to some walkie talkie. So, they got angry. They obviously, I saw in the video, they attacked myself. They attacked photojournalists I was with, Photo Herrera. But I think what really set things off was a few of them approached our Uber driver, who is a Somalian Uber driver. You know, he has no idea what's going on. And they're running his license plate, and they're accusing this like Somalian guy to be an ICE agent. And at that moment, really, I think kind of just made them angry, because that's the moment I'm following him with the camera. And they're telling my Somalian Uber driver that he's an ICE agent. So it kind of set it off. But I'm kind of, you know, Brandon, I'm kind of glad this moment happened, because the video spread like wildfire, and it just put attention to kind of the madness of Minneapolis, and also how like local law enforcement, you know, this blockade was up for already more than 24 hours, and like they didn't respond, they didn't come in, dismantle it. But this video finally put that pressure on local PD a little bit.
Well, that's good to hear. I mean, it's so crazy to me that they have the guts to go around and ask these questions and grill people. I mean, your poor Somalian Uber driver, who's probably just minding his own business, not doing a damn thing. And they're grilling him. And people don't realize, I mean, you don't have to talk to them. I mean, these are, and the problem is their faces are covered. And so you're not going to really know who these people are. And they know what they're doing. I mean, the fact that this guy, this is like the Karens of all Karens, has the guts to go up to an Uber driver to ask him who he is and grill him. If it was a federal agent would never let him get that close to their car. So these people are not very intelligent. At least this guy was a little nice to you, though. We played this clip yesterday on the show of you grilling this guy and trying to grill him a little bit. But I want to get to the license plate angle from all of this, because obviously they're running the plates. How are they able to do so? Are one of them possibly a PI, so they have access to different servers that they could use? Or is local PD allowing them to utilize their database?
You know, that's something we're trying to find out more information on, because we keep hearing about this database, and they kept, like I said, they had all these walkie-talkies, so they keep repeating the license plate numbers, and then they would say, okay, this license plate's clear, this one's not. And also, like, in the start of that video, Brandon, if you notice, they were actually turning around vehicles. So that's where I started to really film, because they were actually turning around these SUVs. Now, I don't know if they were federal agents, but their windows were tinted. It's possible that they were. But the reason these individuals also affect this is they've also just been emboldened by like local politicians and their language. Like when you're down there and you're talking to, I mean, you I guess you could call this a foot soldier, whatever. Like they do believe like they're fighting an ICE or a Gestapo, and these folks literally have they're operating like in a world with no consequences. If anything, like they're showing the greatest kind of display of white privilege, if there is that, to just be like stopping people, having faces covered, knowing that local law enforcement isn't coming in. But this database system, I think, really needs to be highlighted, that these local individuals could do that. And if I could just add really quick, Brandon, because this is kind of important to the story. Literally an hour after this interaction, I had an exclusive ride along with ICE in Minneapolis. So then we go embedded. I'm with these agents who were supposed to make what they call a targeted arrest. So they've already been watching this individual. He is a criminal, illegal alien. And they're going to move in and make an arrest. As I'm embedded on this operation, those agents had to call off that arrest because those activists tracked down the movements of their license plates, blasted out their location, and then the agents essentially told me, they said, hey, man, if we try to move in and make this arrest, these activists are going to impede the operation, blow the spot up, and likely this criminal legal alien will probably likely leave the state if he knows that we're targeting him. So, like, I just want to, the reason I'm saying this, I want the audience to know that these activists, while sometimes we see them on the ground and some of the videos are funny, right? They're blowing funny whistles and stuff like that. Like, they're actually having real impact on real operations, on real criminal legal aliens being, like, they're not able to make in, not moving to make these arrests because these activists are actually having a real impact on their operations and giving out their location. So just want to put that out there, that literally an hour after we were, you know, assaulted, harassed, went on an embed. And these guys couldn't arrest a criminal legal alien because they were being doxxed and followed by several activists.
Yeah, well, that's the problem here. And I want to get your reaction because we played the press conference that Tom Homan, the Border Czar, just had in Minneapolis. He's saying that local law enforcement is going to begin working with the feds. And so there's now a plan to reduce the amount of federal agents in the area. We're hearing that what he said was that they're going to be drawing back about 700 individuals. Now, again, that could be personnel mixed with a little bit of agents. We don't have the actual breakdown of what that equals. But I mean, what you just saw tells me that things are still kind of heated there, and that the current group of ICE agents that are there and present there are unable to carry out their tasks. So do you think that the best move the administration should be making, based on what you've seen so far on the ground, is pulling federal agents out of the area?
Personally, I absolutely not. I was at Tom Homan's first press conference when he got to Minneapolis, and he first mentioned his draw back plan or draw down plan. I thought this would at least take a while. It shouldn't be as quick. The big thing that I kind of still see on the ground is that these federal agents, their operations are still being impeded, and local law enforcement isn't even responding to the calls. The agents that I was with, like literally 2 days ago, they didn't even like bother to call local law enforcement because they knew they were never going to show up and like at least help block the activist form impeding the operation. You know, these agents are very straight up. They literally don't care if you protest. You can film them all you want. But it's really getting to the point where they're impeding. So I think this is going to really start to hurt operations. But, you know, at the end of the day, local law enforcement already doesn't respond. The other thing that this will do, I think, Brandon, is once this news hits the ground, you know, in Minneapolis with the protesters, this gives them a huge morale boost and keeps that energy going. And they got that morale boost also last week when Bovino got that whole order to kind of be relieved from Minneapolis. So this is going to be, in the eyes of the activists, protesters, the rioters, this is going to be viewed as a major victory on their side.
Yeah, and that's the part that's really concerning here. And Bovino was a massive blow, I think, to this administration's credibility when they pulled him out of there. I don't think that was fair. And I think it feeds into these left-wing terrorists, unfortunately. So we'll continue to follow that as it develops. But, you know, there have been some really good moves that have been made. William Kelly is one of the individuals who was just recently arrested under the FACE Act for protesting inside of that Minneapolis church on a Sunday morning and interrupting worship services. Now, the interesting part here is William Kelly is still back out after obviously being released. He's now out. And you actually got the opportunity to catch up with Mr. William Kelly. Take a listen to clip 13.
William, how does it feel to be released? Are you still being charged? What's an update?
Right now, they're pursuing FACE Act charges against me, so I'm facing 10 years in federal prison.
For storming the church.
We did not storm. We were invited in, but we did raise our voices and preach the word of God.
What's your reaction on Don Lemon's arrest?
I think it's absurd. He wasn't there as a protester. He was there as a journalist. This is a violation of the First Amendment. This is treason. This is Donald Trump and Kristi Noem using the government as a political tool to harm their opponents.
When's your next court appearance?
I'm not sure at this point.
If you just had a direct message for the president, what would it be?
I would tell him to stop this madness. People alone. Remember the Constitution. All power
to
the people.
So we'll jump in on that one, because obviously this is someone who is not mentally well, and he's making accusations that have never been proven. They're false, obviously. But you know, Jorge, I want to jump in on this because clearly, and this is why I wanted to play the thing entirely, because people, I mean, we get it that these people aren't mentally well. And that's probably the reason why they're inspired to go out there and do these things. They've been lied to by the media. They don't actually know the facts of their arguments. But William Kelly seems to be a very passionate man about the subject matter. What was your interaction, besides, you know, that clip, what was your interaction like with him? How is he when he's out there protesting?
Yeah, you know, I was kind of shocked that I was actually literally just taking like a shot of the crowd, and I just see William with like the American flag. And obviously I come up to him, just wanted to get a kind of quick reaction. And I was just even shocked just to see him out there. He's a very, very unhinged, chaotic individual. I will say this though, Brandon, this is probably like the most, maybe not alarming thing, but people now gravitate this guy like he is like their like hero. The amount of people that like walk up to William and wanted his autograph picture, you keep hearing that slogan, that power to the people. So they kind of view him as like, in a way, a martyr, you know, in a way, because of that, you know, the charges that he's facing. But if that individual is leading your movement, you know, that's not a good sign. But yeah, you know, very unhinged. Obviously, not even giving clear answers. But people are really hyping him up. They kept following the guy around. According to Kelly, just one little tidbit that he told me, he had like no plans of leaving Minneapolis. He says until all ICE agents leave. But you know, Brandon, I don't think it's a good look for Bondi if you're gonna have like this guy out still protesting and like just, you know, being chaotic. Also, like, we don't even know if he could potentially lead another riot inside a church. I mean, it's likely, but yeah, he's out there. So far, the judge has given him a no order contact with Don Lemon. It'd be interesting to see if they've been texting each other. But yeah, unhinged guy. Kind of just shocked that I even ran into him. But at least got it out there, and people could just hear just the craziness, but also like the absurdness of like, why is he released? That's not an individual that's like should be out in the public and like rallying.
Yeah, no, 1,000%, 1,000%. He just seems like he needs a hug. That's what he seems like. He seems like he needs a hug, and I would give him a hug. I'd be a little worried though, but I'd give him a hug.
He needs more than that. I'm gonna be nice right now.
Oh, Jorge. Yeah.
Oh, there's a three.
He's what a crowd of good lookers. What can I say? Jorge Ventura, we appreciate all that you do, my friend. You're great on the ground doing your thing. Give him a follow on X. He's an incredible independent yep. journalist. You were on the ground, obviously, in Minneapolis for Daily Caller, but you're independent. So, folks, give him a follow on Twitter. Ventura Reports. That's Ventura Report. Sorry, Report. And give him a follow on X. I highly recommend it. Jorge, thank you. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you.
It's not easy, guys. Jorge's on California time, so when he joins us, it's very, very early for him. So we appreciate it. All right, folks. We've got a lot more to discuss in just a bit. Buckle up. We will be joined by Matt Tardio in a little bit as well. Matt's got a lot to sound off on because you may have heard when we're like, all right, goodbye, I got to go. Yesterday, we learned about some Iranian or an N1 Iranian drone that was shot down. So there's a lot of questions I have there. Matt has been looking into it, so we'll talk to him about that. We'll also talk to him about the Chinese bio lab that was just raided over the weekend in Vegas. Now, apparently there's a connection. We're sifting through all the information, but I did post a little bit of the video of the body cam footage that was released by Las Vegas police. And there's a connection between California and a connection between the Vegas one. I'm going to have him sift all through that for you because it's interesting. I think I put up a post specifically outlining what we were being told. Turns out that I had gotten a little confused, so I'll correct that for you in just a bit. But it's ultimately the same lab that was also owned by an individual in California who's a Chinese national. So both of them, obviously, same. There was no Ebola at the one in Vegas, it looks like. That was the one in California. But we'll get through all the information in just a second. So buckle up, a lot to dive into in just a few moments. Matt Tardio joining me in a moment.
So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't know, and I'm going over there. You financed it. You paid for it. And your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. The receiver won't let us order new product over at Infowars.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air? Can I do that? I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Three posters I designed. Two I designed. Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King. Make no peace with evil, say Crusader King, and then do like that still image of me. And it is the bestseller. It's I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones, and it's InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy Unsigned for $25, big posters, glossy in a tube, or you get it for $100. You're like, God, that's huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, costs $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens before they're hatched. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching anything, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you will be the ones that shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like a Star Trek Wrath of Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.